Hi, I'm Bali.
And welcome to the Dietitian Frequency. How are you doing today, Bali?
I am good. I am doing well. How are you doing? I'm a little bit under sleep deprived.
Just a tiny bit. But you're also starting to be a doctor.
Please.
So, Dr. Mapoli is really within the books right now.
And you know what's my motivation?
What?
To want to do this and... It's just to walk around the mall with a stethoscope around my neck. That's it.
That's the main
motivation. That's the whole point.
That's the whole point.
Of doing a whole degree from scratch. That's it.
Well, that's 6 to 8 years.
Yeah.
Just so you can have that clout.
I can have clout and walk around the mall with it and pretend as if I forgot to remove it. That's it.
They always do that.
How are you doing?
I'm surviving.
What's happening?
Life sometimes, yeah, you understand?
And it's lifing right now.
It's lifing, but you know, we all go through those phases.
Yeah.
So last time we recorded, I was like, now I'm like, I'm still trying to get back into it. But it's a good type of lifing because,
That's good.
It's a necessary type of lifing.
Yeah. But so, I see your skin is good, well hydrated, so at least there's that.
If anything, that's all I can do.
They say what? The face cut never lies, so...
Hey, we try.
All right, we're back.
Yes.
Another Thursday. We had a fantastic episode last week. And today we're talking period syncing.
You know, when I thought of period syncing, I thought it's when you and your friend have your period at the same time.
Oh, there's
that.
That's
when I used to think. But I didn't, like, when I... actually started learning about it, I was like, this is actually what period syncing
is. So what we see now, it's more of a trend in a way where people are, so period syncing is actually when you do activity like workouts and lifestyle adaptations and what you eat, which is your diet, according to your menstrual cycle.
Yes.
Because remember, there are different times of our menstrual cycle. There are hormones that are high, there are hormones that are low, whether it's estrogen now, it's progesterone high, low, and what's not. And when all of those changes happen, and PMS symptoms and all of that happens, our bodies, the way our bodies respond, changes. So then why don't we change our approach with with each phase? So that's what period syncing is about. It's just about on the times where... you're feeling tired because, you know, your period is just almost, you know, it's just a couple of days before your period starts. Instead of you saying, I'm going to hit that circuit and be highly, do a high intensity gym activity, then period syncing says, no. Maybe that's your week to do yoga, to do Pilates, things that are just like slow paced, to take a walk. And then when your energy picks up again during a certain phase, then you can do high intensity exercises. Same with food.
Yes.
And I guess it goes to what we've somewhat said in the past, that period cravings are a real biological thing. So then you start realizing that certain times of the month, when you crave, as we call them cravings, you crave that chocolate, they actually have benefits to that craving. We'll talk about it, though. We'll talk about it. But, yeah, that's what period syncing is about. And then, obviously, there is that if I'm on your period. I don't know about that one, if there's science to that period syncing of if your friend is on your period now, you will also get one.
But unfortunately, I know they're saying that.
There's nothing.
It used to bother
me in school. I will run away. If a friend says, honestly, I'm on my period, I'm like, stay away.
Because you know that night it's happening.
But I guess it would happen because, I mean, don't we all have a cycle? We are women. We've got 28 days to work with. And at some point, we're all going to get our periods, you know. And sometimes we might get them at the same time. And if we get them at the same time this month, chances are, if nothing changes and no one is pregnant and stuff like that, we'll then get it again the same time next month. I don't know. But...
No, that's true. I think it's one of those interesting topics that I feel like we just need more research, because right now the scientists are just saying there's no evidence.
Yeah.
And I just need someone to do a big research study.
Put a so bunch of females give, and say, yeah. Okay, now tell me when your period is.
Exactly, and see if there is some kind of link, because yeah. I feel like there's a lot to our hormones, and I just feel like it would be a very interesting study if we had a very big one, like a very, very big kind of in-depth study on it.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about menstruation, the cycle in itself, right?
Yeah.
It's divided into four. So there is the actual period. So yes. Now you are on your period. So that, you know, can last about 3 to 7 days, where some people will be on their periods for 3 days. Some can last as long as 7 days. Some by the 7th day, it's like spotting. It's not that deep. So basically what happens in that period is that your body is going through the most, because the lining of your uterus is shedding. And at that point, as much as you are physically tired, your hormones are at their lowest, and you know they will start obviously to increase and become more stable at the end of your period. And the other thing that's happening during your menstruation, the actual period in itself, you're losing blood, which is the obvious part, and that in itself could be draining. And you know, some people have heavy flows, some, you know, it can go quite crazy on the heavy bleeding depending on your cycle.
Yeah.
So there's that is happening in those minimum 3 to 7 days, and you typically feel more inward, more slow, more like, you know what, you want to rest. But I guess because the society we live in is not really built for accommodating that, you want to push, you want to push, you want to show up, you want to work. Yes, I do go on my periods, but hey, I show up. But then, you know, you start burning yourself out, to be honest. So that is that happens in your body. That's what's actually happening. Now, what do you eat then to support these changes, these loss of blood and all of that?
So during your menstrual cycle or menstrual phase, I would definitely say, you know, focusing on your anti-inflammatory types of foods, or foods that are high in anti-inflammatory properties, like your omega-3s.
Mm.
Because during this phase, you have a lot of those inflammatory prostaglandins, and that's essentially where it's the highest in the whole cycle. So lots of inflammation. Omega-3s has been seen time and time again in research to help to reduce the inflammation. So dietary-wise, that would be focusing on your oily fish. If you're a salmon, trout, girly, focus on that. If you like your pilchards, you like your tin fish, you like your sardines
or tuna, on toast.
Sardines on toast. You could do a sardine stew. Whatever you like, however you can get them in, get those omega-3s in. Even if it means, if you do not eat fish, if you are vegan, get an omega-3 supplement of at least 1,000 milligrams. So another one, though, is definitely the iron, because you are bleeding. Yeah. Let's be honest. And unfortunately for the men who are listening to this right now, we can feel it when the blood comes out.
Yeah.
Yes, we can. And when you have a heavy flow, it means you're losing a lot of blood.
Yeah.
So focusing on iron-rich foods.
Mm.
I really like something that you have kind of introduced me to is fruits in salad.
Yeah.
Like adding like oranges into a salad.
Like, game I've got changer. A fantastic spinach and orange salad that I need to share with you, because it's just amazing. Yeah. Also, I've got a strawberry one that where I put strawberry and sorghum. Absolutely amazing.
That combo.
So the addition of fruits in a salad like that, for me, is about increasing the absorption of the non-heme iron, so the iron we get from plant sources.
Yes.
As soon as you add a fruit which is high in vitamin C, or another food item, pairing them with another food item that is high in vitamin C, it's a game changer.
Yes.
Because we know that our bodies best absorb the heme iron, which is an iron from animal sources, so their absorbability is much more higher, while the, you know, iron from non-heme sources, which are plant sources, is much lower. So once you pair with vitamin C, then it changes the game quite significantly.
Massive game changer.
Yeah.
I must say, though, I'm one of those people who really struggles with cramps. Terrible, terrible cramps during my period. And I find that getting your magnesium-rich sources of food,
100%.
Such a great way, because when you getting that magnesium in, it actually helps with kind of reducing that cramping and reducing that pain associated with cramping. So I found that, you know, any magnesium-rich foods, bananas for me can be the difference between me lying in a ball on the floor and me going to work as if I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely focusing on your magnesium-rich food sources. And then also, you know, things like your legumes and your whole grains, also very important.
Yeah.
Nice sources of magnesium. What else would you say is a go-to
chocolate,
source for you?
Dark chocolate.
Dark chocolate.
You know, unsweetened cacao? Yeah. It's either cacao nibs. You can use cacao nibs or you can use cocoa powder.
Yeah.
And that's fantastic. Or you can just get at least 70% dark chocolate, a slab of chocolate. It
Definitely.
Is fantastic. I find that as soon as I get cramps or, but even if it's not really for periods, cramps, just when I'm running and I'm cramping those, like I feel leg cramps now.
Yes.
When I add your cacao nibs or your unsweetened cocoa powder into my smoothies, it's a game changer in terms of magnesium. So that's just something that you can definitely. So we're giving you permission, basically, to say don't feel guilt. We've been saying, though, feel guilty about eating chocolates, especially if it's now also going to benefit you. The higher the cocoa quantity, the better.
Definitely. And I mean,
for magnesium.
For the magnesium. And I mean, if we're still thinking of inflammation, ginger, also really great. Ginger and curcumin, those are two spices I would say focus on. That's like from turmeric. Just add some pepper in there to help with the absorption of it, and you've got extra anti-inflammatory properties. And then your vitamin E.
Yeah.
So some nuts and seeds, some avo, some berries, your blueberries, your raspberries. Well, mainly blueberries, I would say.
Yeah.
Are a good source.
Of vitamin E.
Of vitamin E.
Uh-huh. So then if like you... Because I love tea. That's no secret.
Yes.
And what I like doing when really like day two, day three, my flow gets very heavy.
Yeah.
And I feel drained. One of the things I do is just get a cup of chamomile tea and then put ginger and just
grate it
in.
I do the same thing except with ginger tea.
So I've got, okay.
Ginger overload. A ginger overload.
But I do chamomile tea and put it in my infuser or whatever, diffuser teapot, and put honey. Yes, I do have chamomile tea with honey when I'm on my period because it's just so soothing. Honey itself has anti-inflammatory, but we're not going to get into the sugar debate, not today.
Today is not the
day, people.
Let's talk about the follicular phase.
Yes.
What is that and how or kind of when is that?
So now the follicular phase is about...
So what about the follicular phase?
You see, the follicular phase is one that is a bit confusing. It's like pre-ovulation.
Yes.
It's for some people, really, they don't really go through follicular phase for like long days. It's quick and then the next thing they go through ovulation. But what we know is that this pre-ovulatory phase can be very painful for many people suffering from endometriosis. So we need to increase more anti-inflammatory foods around this time. Like your berries and foods that are high in zinc and foods that are high in vitamin B6. We previously spoke about those foods and they are linked to endometriosis. So this is the time to add more of those foods that will give us vitamin B6, zinc, and obviously that have got anti-inflammatory properties. Then I think the big phase that everybody feels is the ovulation phase in itself, which normally happens 14 days roundabout. Again, it's not definite, but roundabout 14 days after your period.
Yes.
And that is where your higher you've got higher estrogen levels, and then we find that there's an increase in sodium retention due to that, resulting in bloating. So we find that you are heavy, you are bloated, but also because of the fluid retention, you find that you're feeling heavy. You're just feeling tired and heavy, and your feet and hands also can get fluid overloaded, especially if you're not hydrating well during that time, because we retain water if we are dehydrated, and we lose water if we are well hydrated. So that's what happens in ovulation phase. Maybe you can take us through into, are there any specific foods then that we can increase more of during that time to sync well with the ovulation phase?
Definitely. I think one of the main things we want to do is kind of counteracting those effects of the sodium. So you want to load up on, you know, some of the foods that are high in potassium. So any things like bananas or dried apricots. And even, you know, when it comes to sleep, some people can, you know, experience a lot of pain. Specifically, people who have endometriosis will experience a lot of pain. So any foods that are high in your melatonin, so that's the hormone that helps you to sleep properly, is important. So things like your cherries can be helpful, and getting in the sun, you know, if you're in the sun, that also helps to regulate your sleep better. So yeah, making sure you're getting some direct sunlight so that you can feel more tired and have better and more restful sleep. But I think, yeah, in terms of the ovulatory phase, you just gotta get lots of those complex carbs. You want to get your whole grains in there as well, just as you would get at any other time of the month, but really just focusing on getting that energy.
So going low carb at this time of the month will not be
not at all
the best idea. I mean, you might definitely do it, but you'll be feeling miserable and feeling so depleted with your energy levels as well. So eat those potatoes and sweet potato and rice and all of those high carbohydrate foods as part of your diets, obviously at all times, but particularly during your ovulation period, because it's a strenuous process to ovulate.
And it's, constipation can also come in, so the whole grains really helps to manage the constipation at this time.
Also, I want to add on the point of potassium-rich foods that, you know, we know you've mentioned how bananas are known to be high in potassium, and dried apricots as well, but also things like spinach and avo and potatoes. Add those into your diet. And I think it's just essentially then it just makes you understand that nutrition, when you're educated well, is not that complex. These things support that, and that supports this, and this supports that. Because we're speaking about complex carbohydrates, and I'm going to make an example again with potatoes. They are a complex carbohydrate. They are skin on and resistant starch and all of that, but also they are a good source of potassium. But now, don't fry them. Now, that's a different story. But like baked potato, having a nice baked potato, or roasted potatoes, or potato wedges done in an air fryer, an oven, something like that. Then adding those into your diet at that time helps, because you know, it just gives us this added benefit. Leaving the skin on for fiber, that's even great. Yes. Also, fun fact, there's more vitamin C on the skin of a potato than inside the potato. There's more nutrients on the skin of the potato when you look into it than the actual potato.
So don't throw that skin away. Keep it on the wedges.
Yeah.
Keep it on the wedges. If you do a mashed potato, you could always keep the skin and put it in an air fryer, or roast it, and then have it like as a crunchy chips or deconstruct it, whatever. You can make it bougie.
I use the potato peels, put them in the air fryer, and then we use them as just for bringing crunch into salads.
Or, that's very clever.
Or when we're doing, say we're doing mac and cheese, and on top we just flake the potato thing, the roasted potato skins, and they bring in nice crunch.
That's so clever. I'm going to steal that idea.
Or like if you're doing a cottage pie, because sometimes you want that crunch on top, and then you just put potato skins and just flake them on top.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gourmet.
It's called having kids. I've learned that from them. they were experimenting, and I was like, oh, maybe this might work. Maybe
good idea.
Maybe this we can use. But yeah.
Yes.
So that is ovulation.
And lastly, we have the luteal phase. What is that?
So this is the... like it's the end. Your period is like,
is that when like you have a little bit of the moodiness?
Yeah, like
the end?
You're like, oh. And sometimes you find that there are muscle contractions that happen there. Mood swings are just hectic. So again, the luteal phase is similar to the beginning of your menstruation, because it's still that period where you're feeling like, oh, I'm over this. I'm just over it. And everything is just, everything is just disrupted, basically. Yeah. But how do we best support this time of the luteal phase?
I always stand by the B vitamins. I can't lie. The B vitamins, they're really helpful. Your green leafy vegetables, that can also help in terms of just controlling the estrogen levels during that time. And any foods, again, that are going to help to control the estrogen levels, like your phytoestrogens. If you listen to the episode on endometriosis, then you will know what those are. But just to give you kind of a feel of those foods that you can kind of find that are phytoestrogens, it's your raspberries, it's your flax seeds, and it's also things like your edamame beans, which we discussed as well. Really, really nice options that you can help to just try and control those estrogen levels as well.
Okay.
And calcium.
Yeah.
So calcium, you can get that very easily in different foods, your dairy products. You can get it in your leafy greens. You can get it in people who are vegan, you can get it from tofu. That's all really just important because, again, you've got some muscle contractions that are happening during this phase as you're leading up to the menstrual phase.
Mm.
So that can help as well, just in terms of supporting and making sure that, especially for those of us who feel the aches and the pains during our cycles, it can help to manage that.
Because it can go south.
I get the little bit of pain sometimes.
Mm.
So that's why I'm always very interested in endometriosis, because I've always been like, when I do research, I'm like, why do I have pain at all the times that they tell us that you have pain with this?
Yeah.
So, definitely the pain management helps if you're focusing on those types of foods.
Yeah. Okay. So I think there is just that there's certain foods that if you add them at the right times, from what you're speaking about, whether it's the actual period, the follicular phase, ovulation phase, and the luteal phase, doing different, adding certain foods and helps a lot. And drinking plenty of water, I think that you do throughout, but especially more so when you've got, you're feeling more sluggish and you're feeling more heavy you've got water retention going on. We need water to lose water. So prioritize and just say, you'll sit in that couch, it's fine. Switching from this app to that app, but have water, next to you. Have a water bottle next to you and keep on sipping.
Yeah, I feel like I want to look into research in terms of this.
Mm.
Completely off topic, but I feel like maybe even water consumption can be linked to sleep.
Mm.
I don't know if that's a topic that we should look into.
We should look into that, definitely.
As a placebo or as a, I don't know what you call it when it's on yourself.
Don't say we must now not drink water and see how we're going to sleep.
No. I'm terrible with drinking water. Anyone who knows me, it's so hard for me to drink enough water.
Mm.
But yesterday I did, and that was the first night that I had good sleep in days or weeks.
Oh, yeah?
So
what did you
there.
Do different yesterday in terms of increasing your water intake?
I just had regular water throughout the whole day. Yeah. I didn't have like 2 cups and then forget about it.
What stops you? Doing that every day.
It's the same thing that stops all of us. I don't like
you are the
water.
Only person I'm going to judge because we are here and I'm going to judge you. I can't say this to my clients.
I have a timer on my phone that helps me to know when to drink water. I have a water bottle. Like, I have all these things that I have to do. If I don't do it, when I don't have my timers on, when I don't have a water bottle, or when I don't say, okay, at 8 o'clock, at 10 o'clock, at 12 o'clock, I'm going to have something.
Mm.
I don't have it, so... That's why anyone who is a client of mine, when I say I know how hard it is to drink water, know that I know from experience, because it's very tough. But in terms of, the period sinking, it's so important. Mm. But what would you say is your final takeaway from this?
We women as well, so we know exactly what we're talking about. But I do find that we need more research. We've said this with endometriosis. We need more research that is more female focused, that is women focused, that
definitely,
is looking into these things. There is a reason why immediately before ovulation, you are upbeat, you are social, you are like, yes, let's go out. Yelele, hey, it doesn't even last days. And the next thing you're like, I don't want people. I hate human beings.
I hate everyone.
So I think there's more research that needs to be done there. But another thing, I think, when it comes to what we eat, I think if we understand that there is an actual therapeutic role that food plays in our lives, like literally, because there are certain chemicals and which in a form of nutrients that come from each food item that we eat. That's the beauty of fuel for food, because you find that we're saying, for example, strawberries are packed with antioxidants or some polyphenols and all those good stuff. But they're also high in fiber. They are also high in that. They are also high in this. They're also high in that. So understanding that food has those therapeutic, powers in our lives, they help us support our health and help us heal certain things, then we'll understand and know that we are not just eating for weight. But we're eating to thrive. We are eating to improve our health. We are eating to allow our bodies to do more. But the last thing also will be to somewhat be somebody to give women permission to... Periods are difficult. Like, not even periods. The menstrual cycle is difficult. Ovulation is a lot. this phase is a lot, that phase is a lot. So be kinder to yourself. And when you need to take time out, when you need to rest and really, really, really do that, because it's important. Another fun fact. Today I'm coming with fun facts. Unilever has new leave days. Did you hear about that?
I heard about that.
I think that is amazing. First, the 6 months maternity leave is just okay.
Amazing.
And then they've got 12 days. 12 annual leave days for periods, dedicated to periods. So you can take a day every month.
And for us, those of us who have 21 to 24 day cycles, the short cycle girlies, you can have it twice in the month.
You can have it twice in a month if you want, yeah.
Sure.
But it's given to you. It's 12 days if you want. Wow. You just have 12 days in a year that you can dedicate. Like, imagine I'm going to my boss and I'm like, I'm taking leave on this day. And then they ask why. I'll be on my. I don't even know if you have to explain like that, or you just say it will come out of your cycle and you tick a box. But yeah. I thought that would be brilliant.
I think it's brilliant because there's a lot of people who have terrible. The first 2 days are terrible.
Yeah.
So excruciatingly painful that it's for difficult me. It's my second, third day.
That 24 hours that lies in the second or third day. That is horrible. Like. That's, yeah, not more the period pains, but the flow and just the tiredness. Like,
yeah.
I can just feel iron leave my body every second. I'll be like, okay, I see you. So I actually thought, as a self-employed person, because, you know, we work for ourselves, I thought, okay, I want to implement that and see. Like, really put on days in a month, or 1 day or 2 days in a month, where I say these are dedicated, these are my rest days.
Yeah,
they don't for specifically for periods, they fall into my days. Those 3 to 7 days, they fall there, and I take that day or two and I just rest.
Yeah,
because when I saw that, I was like, okay,
I like that idea.
This is a fantastic really
like
idea.
I just feel like it made me feel like, as much as I don't work for them, it made me feel so heard.
Yeah,
like as a woman and someone who identifies as such, like, I felt so like, you guys actually know how tough it is for us. Like, and you're giving us permission to take a breather, even if it's like half a day. Like,
even that would if make it's a half massive a day,
a massive difference. The it morning would. Just to rest, or the afternoon. Like,
I'll take the morning any day.
Yeah, literally any day.
I'll take the morning any day. But yeah, it's such a, and funny, because one will think such won't be understood by men, but I always sometimes find that older women have forgotten.
Yeah,
and when you're saying, I've got period pains, I'm not gonna wake up and stuff, like, no, just work through it. So I think it's a conversation that really we have to have, so that we do better for our own children, you know, and then they can know it's okay. It's okay to miss school 1 day just because you are fully on this painful experience of a period. We're just throwing it out there.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sure more companies will sort of go into that and just do what Unilever. We hope that will be the case.
Yeah.
Then more corporate women will feel seen and feel heard. And
exactly.
I guess also productivity.
It will increase productivity.
Yeah.
Because I can't do anything in that 24 hours.
No, you just want to snuggle up somewhere in bed and...
I'm literally, I need all of the water bottles to just try and at least help with some kind of pain relief.
Yeah, and
I
then
think most people are like
And then
that.
Your period is gone, and all of a sudden you're like a human, you feel like a human again, but it doesn't last long. Literally a week or so, and then everything goes south again. Yeah.
But yeah, this has been such a great conversation. I feel like people will definitely learn from it.
And
just knowing that, like, it is okay to feel those differences at the different times of your cycle is also
just
really
aim
great.
For a variety of foods. And I think let's go back into different colors, because then if all of this sounds difficult, all you can just do is to aim for different colors. The more colors you've got on your plate, the more colors you rotate in a week, the better, because we know that with different colors in our plates, we get different nutrients.
Definitely,
so maybe if all of this again seems like, oh, I hear them but I can't really see it, just do that. And nowadays they say 30 different plants a week.
Yes.
Many people still can't get to that, or, you know, but I always say it's like it will inspire you. If you know that's something, it will inspire. It's just like Dr. Google. At some point you were saying that, you know, Dr. Google, we have a love-hate relationship. It does inspire people to then want to seek more and seek professional help and seek, you know. I think the danger is just being stuck there and using Google as a diagnostic, a tool to diagnose yourself. But I guess with our plates as well, the more color, different colors we have, we might not get to 30 plants a week, but we use that as an inspiration and slowly get there. And then if we do that, then we are doing something towards period sinking diet-wise.
Definitely. But thanks for this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it, and let us know if you want more women's health-related content, because we really, really enjoy talking about these kinds of topics. Yeah. So thanks for listening, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.